This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for subscribing to these podcasts and subscribing to our newsletter. If you don't already subscribe to our newsletter, you can do so. Go to drhoffman.com and sign up. It's free. You can unsubscribe at any time. And we never use your email for any other purpose than to send you the newsletter, Intelligent Medicine. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call my office. You'll talk to Grimaldi. She'll set you up. That's 212-779-1744, 212-779-1744. Our offices are located in Midtown at 635 Madison Avenue. That's between 59th and 60th Street on Madison Avenue. And if you're unable to come in, I have patients and clients from all over the country. You could have telephone consultations with me. On the other hand, if you'd like to become a medical patient, a patient of Dr. Hoffman's, you will have to come in because he needs to perform a physical examination. That's how that's done. But with me, you could have a telephone consultation with me. Want to talk to you today, and you're probably going to get a little bit of the heebie-jeebies from this. USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture study, advises against washing raw poultry and red meats. Washing raw chicken before it's cooked is a common practice, but new federal research advised against it Tuesday, saying it could lead to foodborne illnesses that are responsible for thousands of deaths each year. Are you with me? The U.S. Department of Agriculture cautions against washing raw poultry, saying it only risks scattering bacteria onto kitchen countertops, other surfaces, and into other food. Quote, cooking and mealtime is a special occasion for all of us as we come together with our families and friends, USDA Deputy Undersecretary Mindy Brashear said in a statement. However, the public health implications of these findings should be of concern to everyone. Even when consumers think they are effectively cleaning after washing poultry, this study shows that bacteria can easily spread to other surfaces and foods. The best practice is not to wash poultry. The study said of those who washed chicken, 60% subsequently had resulting bacteria in their sink, and 14% still had bacteria even after they cleaned the sink. More than a quarter transferred bacteria to nearby lettuce that had already been cleaned. The best practice, the department says, is not to wash poultry. So imagine that, 60% of you who are washing your poultry, you've got residual bacteria in your sink. It could be contaminating your other kitchen surface areas, your countertops, your dishware, your other food. The USDA's advisory recommends preparers handle foods that don't need to be cooked, like vegetables, first and raw meats second. The department said cookers should also clean and sanitize all surfaces that could have come into contact with raw meats. It also recommends ridding meats of bacteria by cooking them at a safe temperature. And what is safe temperature? 145 degrees Fahrenheit for beef, pork, lamb, and veal. I'll repeat. That's 145 degrees for beef, pork, lamb, and veal. So if you don't have a cooking thermometer, you should probably get one. 160 degrees Fahrenheit for ground meat and 165 degrees Fahrenheit for poultry. Pregnant women, young children, older adults, and persons with weakened immune systems are particularly vulnerable, as they would be with foodborne illness. Cleaning your hands properly is also important. Not washing your hands for 20 seconds immediately after handling those raw foods is just as dangerous, Food Safety and Inspection Service Administrator Carmen Rottenberg said. So you have to wash your hands for 20 seconds immediately after handling those raw foods. So you want to count to 20? You could, while washing your hands. Or you can sing the happy birthday song. You can sing happy birthday, and by the time you're finished, 20 seconds should have gone by. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says about 48 million people are sickened by foodborne illness each year. Wow. Leading to 128,000 hospitalizations and 3,000 deaths. This is from United Press International. So 48 million are sickened by foodborne illness each year. 128,000 hospitalizations result from that, and 3,000 deaths. Just so you know, I've known since I was an undergrad that you should not be washing your raw meat or poultry. And at the time, the idea really made me kind of queasy. What do you mean? I can't wash my chicken, I can't wash my steak, my lamb chops, whatever, my pork roast. Yeah. So I'd since adopted that habit. This is more than a decade ago now. But we had a lengthy discussion with one of my professors in undergrad about it when she brought it up, saying, you were better off not washing it. The cooking process does burn away that bacteria that's on the outside of a filet, whether it's a chicken breast filet or a steak or a chop or something like that. So, however, and you want to make sure it comes to 145 degrees. And for ground meat, 160 degrees. Here's the thing, you know, I used to enjoy a rare burger, back in the day. Not so much anymore because it's dangerous. I'll tell you why. You take that meat, that steak, that filet, right? That roast, you put it through a meat grinder to make ground beef, to make your burger, right? Or your meatloaf. You put it through the grinder. Any bacteria that was on the outside of that steak or that roast is now throughout that ground beef, that ground veal. It is completely throughout. That's why it is especially important to thoroughly cook a burger. I'll be honest with you, I don't even have it a little bit pink anymore. And so as not to char the outside of it, even on the grill, I cook it low and slow. Yeah, it's nice to get those grill marks. Then I turn it way down. I turn it way down. I let it cook for longer so it cooks through and through and it's not charred and blackened on the outside. So cooking it low and slow is important. The take-home message is you don't want to wash your meat. And you know what? The advice they say is to prepare your vegetables first. I've been doing that. I've been doing that for years. For dinner, for example, I will always prepare the salad first and foremost, making sure, of course, it should go without saying, but I'll say it, that all of your surfaces are sanitized, all of your utensils, your cutting boards are sanitized. You should even have separate cutting boards, one for your vegetables, one for your meat, and make that distinction in case there's any residual bacteria on the meat cutting board that you're not using it for your vegetables, right? This is important. So, do that. I will always prepare my salad first, get that all into a bowl, chop everything up, put it all in a bowl, put it away. Take out any vegetables that I will be cooking or roasting or steaming. Get those ready. I get them out of the way. Then I take the meat out. I'll often marinate the meat. You know, steak is nice with a little salt, pepper, maybe a little vinegar to break it down a bit. Maybe a little Worcestershire or a little soy sauce. Depends on how you're making it, what you're doing. Some citrus can help lower the AGEs if you're grilling. The acrylamide formation, you know, the AGEs, the advanced glycation end products when we're grilling. But again, low and slow, so you're not charring the meat. Marinate it well, it's fine. And clean all your surfaces. So when you take that chicken out of its package, put it into the vessel that you're going to cook it in, or into the baggie that you're going to marinate it in, or into the bowl that you're going to marinate it in. Be very, very careful. Wash your hands immediately afterwards with soap and hot water, as hot as you can take it. It doesn't have to be that hot. I don't want you to injure yourself, obviously. So that's something. Yeah. Don't wash the meat. Handle it very carefully. Clean yourself up, clean your hands, clean all of your surfaces. And the cooking process will take care of getting rid of the bacteria. And by the way, even when you're roasting a chicken, say in the oven, right? You want to pat it dry. So back in the day when I used to wash my chicken, I would pat it dry very, very well, then season it, all that. But now, take it out of its package, you'll notice it will be in a lot of its own juices, right? Dispose of that very carefully into your trash. Pat off the chicken with paper towels. Dispose of that into your trash. Wash your hands thoroughly. Clean up any surfaces that any of those juices may have dripped on. Then season your chicken. Hey, while I'm at it, let's talk about a roast chicken recipe here. I love lots of pepper and some salt, and I like rosemary and maybe some garlic, but I don't go to the garlic necessarily. I might do lemon. And then I'll roast that bird, and it'll be a bird not more than 4 pounds. It might be 3.5 to 4 pounds. I put it in the roasting pan. Are you ready? Breast side down. I put it in the roasting pan, breast side down. This is important because when you roast a bird in the oven, breast side up, or a turkey breast side up, you're often left with very dry breast meat. The white meat often winds up being quite dry, not moist. This is the solution. I've been cooking it this way for years. Always breast side down in your roasting pan. And if the bird is between 3.5 and 4 pounds, I've got the oven set to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Anywhere between 1 hour and 1 hour 15, 1 hour 20 minutes, your mileage on your oven may vary. Right? Everybody's oven is a little different. And I'm not talking a convection oven. This is a conventional oven. Things will cook faster in a convection oven because of that fan. I don't know why we're not all cooking with convection ovens at this point. We should be. My sister lives in Europe, in Switzerland, and one of the greatest things she happened upon where she's living is her convection oven. Everything cooks faster. Wow. I need to be looking into that. So that's how you would make a roast chicken. Very simple. Between 3.5 and 4 pounds should be between an hour, hour 15, hour 20 minutes at 400 degrees Fahrenheit. I do like to take the meat out of the fridge and leave it there in its roasting pan before it goes in the oven. I've got it seasoned. I've got it everything. I let the chill come off of it first. Let the chill come off for about 15, 20 minutes and then put it in the oven. I do like to preheat the oven, by the way. And it doesn't have to be completely heated up before I put the meat in. I just start the oven process going somewhere, you know, 5 or 10 minutes later, I wind up putting it into the oven. And it's very, very nice. You could do it that way. So consider not washing your raw meat, handling it very carefully, as I'm sure you already do. And that way, not spreading the risk of bacteria. Consider the order of how you prepare your food. Vegetables first, salads first, all of those things that don't really cause any contamination, but make sure you've rinsed all of your vegetables. Okay? Make sure you've rinsed them quite well. I'm not a fan of any of those cleaners and things, or, you know, you could put a teaspoon of Clorox into a gallon of water, or vinegar into a gallon of water, and put your vegetables in to get any pesticide residues off and things like that. I'm not a fan of that because, wow, Clorox is kind of toxic, and vinegar is going to change the texture of that lettuce of your vegetables. Try to buy organic as much as you can and as much as your pocketbook will allow, but rinse all of your vegetables quite thoroughly. The other trick to rinsing your vegetables, if they're very, very sandy, for example, I love to buy radishes, and I love to cook the radish tops. You've heard of cooking beet greens, right? Mustard greens, all of those. Those are the tops of the beets, those green leaves. The tops of the radishes, too, are delicious when you sauté them in a little olive oil and garlic. Yum! But because they could be very, very sandy, very muddy, I put them in a pot of cold water. I kind of swish them around in there, but then I let the water do the work, and that sand will float to the bottom of that pot. I will then take those greens out, put them in a colander, rinse them again under cold water, dump that sandy water out, rinse that pot really well, and do it again. You might have to do this 2 or 3 times where you let the greens float in a pot of clean cold water, so that the sand, the soil comes off. Worst thing you want to taste is when you're eating your green leafies, which you've prepared and cooked beautifully, right? That you chew on a bit of grit or sand. Hate that. So make sure you're getting all of that sand off, all of that soil off. By doing this method 2 or 3 times in a big pot of cold water, where the greens have a lot of room to move and that sand can just float down to the bottom after several minutes. And then take your greens out, put them in a colander, and rinse them again thoroughly under cold running water. And then, of course, take them out into clean paper towels, pat them dry, chop them or tear them, prepare them as you do before you're getting ready to saute them. You do the same with your lettuce before you put it in a salad bowl. Right? If they're very sandy. I love going to the local farmers markets, especially out east where I'm living half the time now. It's wonderful and fresh off the farm. There's nothing like it, but it can be very soiled and very sandy and all of that. And the trick is to be able to get that sand off really, really well. Important to do so you're not eating that stuff. And you're also supporting your local farms and your local farmers. So, and I'm seeing a lot more that even though many of these farms, some of them are organic, others are not, it takes a long time to get organic certification, and the laws are very stringent, and you have to be doing this for at least a few years before you can get that certification. But the farmers, you know, if you talk to them, and they will even say that they will even, you know, let you know that they're not using any pesticides in their growing or anything like that. So this is important information as well. So I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.